is here.
It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the Fantasy Football Champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Green, throwing back in the end zone! Deep grab, touchdown!
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace are the Fantasy Football Champs.
And welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs. Buckle up for 120 minutes of fantasy football coverage. It's officially draft season, and we are here to help you dominate. I'm Bill Enright. With me is Anthony Grace. How's it going, Ant?
What's going on, Bill? How you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Now, last week was our first show of the season, but we didn't have our esteemed producer, Kevin Collins. Kevin, my man, what's going on, dude? Oh, maybe Kevin's mic's not on.
Sorry, guys. Just busy with the Eagles here, getting organized. You know, just came in from practice.
The Eagles?
Yes, the Philadelphia Eagles here for joint practices with the Patriots today and tomorrow before the game on Friday.
Very cool. Belichick's all about that joint practice, huh? Loves it.
Yeah, no, the it's more exciting. And the facility here, to put it bluntly, is a lot better than what we experienced last week down in Richmond with the Redskins. So it's good to be home.
Yeah, I bet. How was it down there?
It was actually FedEx Field's great and DC is awesome. I love it, but the Redskins facility where they have training camp in Richmond is definitely not up to par. So it was pretty tough. We didn't even have a media tent down there where we did PFW.
Okay.
And I guess it was a it's not expected when you just show up there that you have power, which seems to be a given every other place.
Right.
So we had no power, no internet. And when I asked for both things, they looked at me like I had 10 heads, and they pointed to outlets that were probably, no exaggeration, 300 or 400 feet away.
How'd you get internet?
So the good folks over at SiriusXM, satellite radio, moving the chains with Pat Kerwin and Jim Miller.
Yeah, they're both great.
Those guys were down there, and we had hooked them up the week prior when they were here visiting the Patriots training camp.
Right, for the training camp.
Yeah, and they were so blown away with the hospitality we showed them that one day they were here in our studio that they let us use their tent the second and third days when they were basically broadcasting later in the day, 3 to 7.
Right.
So they let us use our tent in the morning and for the PFW show 12 to 2, and they left all the cables run. They left the power on in the tent. So we went from basically outhouse to penthouse within the span of 24 hours. But that just goes to show you, Billy, if you're good to other people, they'll be good to you back.
That's right. That's a good lesson to be learned. That's going to be the theme of the show today,
but Kev. It's really good to be home, and it's good to be back on the air with you guys.
Well, listen, Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings.com. We are here every Tuesday and Thursday on Patriots.com from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time all season long until January or February, whenever the Patriots, if they win the Super Bowl this year, we'll go all the way up to the Super Bowl. So you have about 6 months with the Fantasy Football Champs every Tuesday and Thursday. Kevin, last year we did, or the last few seasons actually, we did a fantasy show on Tuesday.
Yep.
Football Nation General NFL show on Thursday. Not this year. 2014, it's all fantasy all the time, Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6. Book it in your calendars. You got myself, Anthony Grace, and Kevin Collins. We're going to have a tremendous season, and it's really just getting underway. I'm really pumped.
I'm fired up. You know me, Bill. I like to hog the airtime with plenty of my fantasy questions.
Well, we've been on the show for about 5 minutes already. I think your story about the Redskins took up 3:30.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I enjoyed hearing it.
But I wasn't around last week, so I had to let you know how it was going.
You had to make up for time.
Yeah, to make up for lost time.
We did. Anthony and I, we went over the outline a little bit earlier. We have a great show planned for today. We're going to go in-depth on the commandment number 4, going to identify the next great offenses in the NFL. By the way, if you missed last week's show, we went through the 10 commandments for winning fantasy football. You can listen to the show on Patriots.com, on iTunes, via the Patriots mobile app, or you can just go to FFChamps.com. We have the 10 commandments listed right there. So today, we're going to focus on going in-depth on commandment number 4, which is draft players from the next great offenses. So we're going to go over that in just a little bit. Plus, we'll do a little bit of an off-season review. You know, Anthony and I had so many callers, so many emailers last week, we didn't get to do all the things that we had planned, which was great. So today we have some things that we planned last week, off-season review, same faces, new places, go through the free agencies and how it's going to impact your fantasy team. Plus, we'll talk about all the coaching changes from the past year and how that'll also have an impact on your fantasy team. And, of course, we're taking your phone calls, taking your emails. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email. If you're listening to us on demand, you can always hit us up on Twitter. We answer your questions nonstop throughout the week, especially on Sunday mornings when you're setting your lineups. At FF Champs, at Bill Enright, at the PPR Monster. And, of course, you can listen to us on demand, patriots.com, iTunes, and the Patriots mobile app. So a lot going on today. Kevin, you know, the last couple of years we've been doing this show, we've always wanted to do some kind of listener league or some kind of interactive contest, get a little competitive with the listeners. And we haven't really been able to do it, but this year, thanks to our great partners at DraftKings.com, it's finally giving us a chance to compete against our listeners, to have a big fantasy football contest. You know, there's so many people listening out there. You can only fit so many members in a league. But DraftKings, it's unlimited amount of people. If you're a Patriots fan, if you're a fantasy football fan, we want to play against you guys. We want to play with you guys. So you go to ffchamps.com/pats. You get in on the free offer for an FF Champs membership, and you'll be able to play against us throughout the season. Kevin, we'll have some pretty cool contests.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Finally, you know, you and I, how long have we been talking about it, that we want to get the listeners more involved, we want to play against them,
yeah.
And this is a great opportunity.
No, and the what will make it a lot of fun, Bill, is what you highlighted, you know, before with those guys can then call in and give us the business, you know, if they fare better than we do, which is going to make it a lot.
Trash talking.
Because that's one thing that we've not been bashful of the last couple of years is bashing each other. So why not include the listeners in on that fun?
Absolutely. So that's a great way that people can interact with us a little bit more. Obviously, the callers and the emailers are great. You can call in and talk trash to us if you beat us, but hey, it's going to be hard to do. And it's for real cash. I'm not talking about thousands of dollars, but you put up $5, you put up $10, and it's a cool way to win some great prizes. Week one, DraftKings is giving out $5 million just in week one. Opening weekend, $5 million in prizes. You have to be a member through our the ffchamps.com/pats link. That also gives you a free membership to ffchamps.com. You had to see all the people that signed up last week. It was kind of crazy, but I'm glad that all these people are taking advantage, because listen, we're on the show for 2 hours a week, or 2 hours a day, 4 hours a week, and it's just not enough. We have so much going on at ffchamps.com. I really want people to take advantage of this great offer. ffchamps.com/pats. You'll be able to compete for that $5 million in cash prizes over at DraftKings. And I think there's even like a free contest where if you're a first-time player, there's $100,000 contest that you get a free entry into. I know, Anthony, I know you're pumped up about the daily fantasy strategies that we're going to be going into this year as well.
The only thing better than fantasy football every week is fantasy football every day. So yeah, why would you not be excited?
855-728-7500 is the phone number. Before we get into your calls, we're going to go right into the Ten Commandments of winning fantasy football. Again, last week we did all Ten Commandments. You can listen to last week's show. We ended the show with going in-depth on commandment number 3, which is avoid players from bad teams. And Anthony, let's just do a quick recap here. The bad teams that we discussed, the players that you don't want to draft if they're on one of these teams, and of course there's some exceptions, but for the most part, the Oakland Raiders, Jacksonville Jaguars, Tennessee Titans, Houston Texans, and the Cleveland Browns, we're staying away from those teams.
All those teams, yeah. A couple players here and there, but for the most part, those are 5 teams you want to avoid.
Exactly. So the next commandment is commandment number 4. You want to draft players from the next great offense. And Anthony, why do you think this is an important rule for winning fantasy football?
Look, at any great offense is going to do one thing: score points, get yards. That's what gets you points in fantasy. So the more they do in real life, the better you're going to benefit in your fantasy league.
So commandment number 4 at ffchamps.com is draft players from the next great offense. We have the established offenses in the NFL. We all know that these offenses are great. You got the Denver Broncos, New Orleans Saints, Green Bay Packers, Philadelphia Eagles, Detroit Lions, San Diego Chargers, Chicago Bears, Cincinnati Bengals, and the Colts. For the most part, those are the established offenses in the league, am I right?
All no-brainers. Got quarterbacks, running backs, receivers. They got a piece of every position that you want on your team.
Now, I'd throw the Patriots into that mix, but after last season, do you think the Patriots are one of the established offenses or one of the next great offenses?
You know, it's a great question, because even though they might not be established as far as same players, they always seem to click no matter who comes in there. So you might not say established, but you know they're going to put up points every single week.
By the way, we'll get into a Patriots fantasy preview. We didn't get to that last week either, did we?
No, man. We got a lot to do. A lot of emails last week, but keep them coming. That's why we're here.
Kevin, actually, that's great that you're here today, because we can do our Patriots fantasy preview a little bit later in the show.
Yeah, of course, it's one of my favorite segments.
I know it is. You can help us out with that, of course. So, all right, so let's discuss the next great offenses in the NFL. These are teams that are on the brink of joining that elite group of offenses. They're going to score a lot of points. They're going to gain a lot of yards, like you said, Ant. So you'll want players from these teams because they're productive. They move the football, they get points on the board, and all of that equals fantasy football success. So the first team that we have up is the Washington Redskins, a team that struggled a lot last year. They fired their coaching staff in the offseason. RG3, now a year healthier, a year removed from that ACL surgery, entering his third year in the league. Why did the Redskins make this list?
Well, the Redskins, RG3 is the first reason they're making this list, like you mentioned. Look, he had a bad year last year, but he got rushed back from an ACL injury. And you know, Adrian Peterson did it, but Adrian Peterson's not human. You can't compare everybody to AP. But RG3, another year healthy. He's going to be closer to that rookie 2012 season he had more than 2013, I believe.
Yep. Go ahead.
I was going to say as well, you know, you got Pierre Garçon and you're adding DeSean Jackson, another great receiver. Well, I won't say great, but great fantasy-wise. He's going to get deep. He's going to take the top off defenses, and he's going to open up Pierre Garçon to have another 100-catch season potentially.
You have playmakers at the Washington Redskins. The Redskins have playmakers pretty much at every position. RG3, fantasy contributor at quarterback. Alfred Morris, contributor at running back. Garçon, DeSean Jackson, both top-notch wide receivers. And then you got the tight end that I love, Jordan Reed. He made our big season this year.
Yeah, he's going to be a great player this year. It's a shame to see him get hurt last year. He was on his way to building a name for himself, but he's definitely going to be someone to watch out for sure this year.
The next great offense on our list also comes from the NFC East. It's the Dallas Cowboys. Now, say what you want about Tony Romo. Maybe he chokes too much in the regular season and he hasn't won a playoff game and you know, people love to hate on Tony Romo. That's fine. But shrewd fantasy football managers that know what the hell they're doing know that Tony Romo gets it done in fantasy.
Every single year.
He's got a lot of weapons this year. Every single year, right. He's got a lot of weapons this year. I like their offensive scheme that they're going to run. We're going to get into Scott Linehan in a little bit. But let's talk about the Cowboys here for a second, Ant. Tony Romo, you said he gets it done every year. Talk about some of his weapons that he'll be targeting.
Oh, man. Look, Tony, he doesn't get the credit he deserves in real life or in the fantasy life. He's a top 10 quarterback virtually every single year he's playing. He's got Dez Bryant, arguably the best receiver in the game to throw the ball to. He's got Jason Witten. The guy catches 70 balls every single year, every year. DeMarco Murray, he was great last year, and if he can stay healthy and do the same thing this year, that offense is going to be scary. I mean, their defense is banged up to say the least, and they weren't good before that, but that just means the offense is going to be playing catch-up and putting up points every single week.
That's one of the reasons why I love the Cowboys playmakers this year, especially Tony Romo. You said it. Their defense is terrible. Maybe the worst in the NFL. Teams are going to score boatloads of points on the Cowboys this year, and they're going to have no choice to throw the football. I wouldn't be surprised if Romo was top three in passing attempts this year, because they're going to have to throw a lot in order to keep up, because they're going to have to make up points with the way their defense is playing. I also want to throw out Terrence Williams as a playmaker, taking over the number two wide receiver spot alongside Dez Bryant for the Cowboys.
He had a good rookie year last year.
What's that?
He had a good rookie year last year, so definitely look out for Terrence.
And especially, you know, you take him as a wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5, He might be more of those big play, you know, inconsistent kind of guys, big boom, big bust. But if he's your four or five, you can use him when the matchup calls for it, and he'll reward you.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, next team on our next great offense is the Atlanta Falcons. Now, last year, a lot of problems, starting with Julio Jones getting injured. The team was one of the worst in the NFL. I think they make a bounce-back campaign in 2014, starting with their quarterback, Matt Ryan. What do you expect from Matty Ice?
Matt Ryan, the biggest problem for Matt Ryan last year was Julio Jones going down. Julio Jones is the glue to that entire offense, basically. So if Julio Jones stays healthy, you know Matt Ryan's going to have a good year. Another guy who's not getting the credit he deserves in the fantasy world, top 10. He finished in that 7-8 slot virtually every single year. So Julio Jones being healthy, Roddy White started coming on at the end of last year after those nagging injuries started to heal totally.
Right.
You got Harry Douglas. He made a big leap last year with Julio Jones being out.
Yep.
So you're going to have a lot of offensive weapons for Matt Ryan to throw to.
You bring up Harry Douglas. With Tony Gonzalez retiring, do you think Douglas gets a little bit more action and doesn't have to rely on either Roddy White or Julio Jones going down with an injury to see the field?
I think Harry Douglas is going to be the guy to see that action with Tony Gonzalez out. Obviously, they don't have an established tight end that they can trust
right.
like Tony Gonzalez. And Harry Douglas has been there for, what, 4 or 5 years now working
yep.
with the same team. So he's going to be the guy to have to step up and make some plays for him.
They drafted Lavine Toiolo.
Yeah, Toiolo, Toiolo.
Yeah, I don't know how to say his last name, but he's 6'8". He should be a red zone monster for the Falcons, but listen, Tony Gonzalez is the greatest tight end to play all time.
Yeah.
Don't expect the rookie to step right in and fill those shoes. So I think you're right. Harry Douglas, third receiver on the team, but he should get plenty of targets. And I'll tell you, a lot of people are sleeping on Roddy White this year. I just don't get it. Throughout his entire career, he's always played all 16 games. Last year was the first time in his career that he was injured, didn't get to play all 16 games, but boy, did he come on strong in the second half, really the last month of the season. Julio Jones is healthy. Matt Ryan's looking good. You can watch the Atlanta Falcons on Hard Knocks. Steven Jackson, their running back, a little bit banged up right now with a hamstring injury. But, hey, they drafted Devontae Freeman out of Florida State. Really like this. Really like what that kid's been doing as well.
Yeah, Steven Jackson is the scariest piece on that offense right now. He's over that 30-year barrier. He's got injury history from last year. I mean, he did it consistently up to last year, and it's you can't base what he might do this year just on 1 year, but he's looking more towards the negative side than the positive. But, yeah, Freeman and Jaquizz Rodgers are two guys that can do a lot in the backfield. They can catch the ball. They can run. They can offer a lot on that offense.
All right, moving along here. The next great offense in the NFL we have at FFChamps.com is the Arizona Cardinals. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, the Cardinals with Carson Palmer at quarterback? Yes, the Arizona Cardinals. Bruce Arians runs a very creative offense. He's got a lot of weapons there. And Carson Palmer, takeaway is, you know, listen, he's going to throw the interceptions, but he still gets it done in fantasy because he throws for a lot of yards, he's going to have a lot of touchdowns, and he's got two great receivers in Larry Fitz and Michael Floyd. And talk about both of those playmakers.
Well, Larry Fitzgerald has been doing this for years. He's another guy that just every single year, the last 2 years he's been slowing down a little bit, but still put up double-digit touchdowns last year, just shy of 1,000 yards,
yep.
So he does it. And Michael Floyd, he made an emergence last year, over 1,000 yards, 5 touchdowns, and they're more like a 1A, 1AB situation this year. They're not a 1 and a 2, I don't think.
I'm with you there. We actually have them ranked, I think, 18 and 19 in our non-PPR format on FFChamps.com.
Yeah, so, 17, 18.
17, 18, okay.
Yep.
They're neck and neck. I don't think it's a bold prediction to say that this is the year that Floyd outproduces Fitzgerald, but I think that if you draft either one of them, you'll be very satisfied.
100%
because, like I
agree.
Said, Bruce Arians loves to throw the football, and Carson Palmer can get it done.
He does, yeah. He does love the football. And the rookie, John Brown, that guy's going to be someone to watch, too. And not
Speedster.
Necessarily draft, but, yeah, off your waivers, he's gonna have some fill-in position for bye weeks, and you never know what he could become. So keep an eye on John Brown.
Let's talk about their second-year running back, Andre Ellington. The hype train for Andre is probably
max capacity.
Yeah, it's full. It started at the end of last year, and it's just been gaining steam almost every month with new reports coming out of Arizona saying that Ellington's going to be the featured back. Ellington gained 10 pounds to put on, you know, to handle the bigger workload. Bruce Arians thinks that Ellington can be the workhorse. So Andre Ellington is a guy that is going in the mid, early third round. I think he could be a steal at the end of the season if he stays healthy. Because, listen, Rashad Mendenhall retired. Stephon Taylor is more of a, you know, a goal line short yardage back, and I'm not really excited about Jonathan Dwyer. So this backfield belongs to Andre Ellington. He's going to be an excellent running back two with low end running back one type production.
Yeah, he could become a running back one by the end of the year. There's no doubt about it. I mean, 118 attempts last year, 650 yards, 5.5 yards a carry. So he's got some moves. He's put on some weight, like you said. Arian said in the beginning of the spring he wanted to get him about 25 touches a game. If you can hold up to that, he's going to be one of those backs who's going to get the majority of touches in the backfield, which is rare nowadays.
Yeah, you don't really see that too often. And he can catch passes out of the backfield, which helps add to that 25-touch total. He's not going to get 25 carries.
Right.
But you know what? If he gets 10 to 12 carries and, you know, 6 to 8 receptions per game, that's going to equal a lot of production, especially with those two receivers spreading the field, opening up that rushing attack. Next offense that we have listed for the next great offense in the NFL, staying in the NFC West, which is kind of surprising because when you think of the NFC West, you mostly think defenses. But I'm calling out the San Francisco 49ers here. Michael Crabtree missed pretty much all of the regular season last year with an Achilles injury. He's back now. I think that does great things for Colin Kaepernick, their quarterback. I think Frank Gore can still get it done, even though he's, you know, way over that 30-year-old decline range usually for running backs. But you know, Vernon Davis still a top four, top five tight end in the NFL. I'm excited about this 49ers offense this year.
I agree with you. Michael Crabtree was on his way to great things after 2012, 1,100 yards, 9 touchdowns, looking like he was becoming one of those elite weapons. It's sad to see that he blew out the Achilles last year, but again, full off season of being healthy, coming back, I think he's going to have a big year. You got Anquan Boldin, the ageless wonder. The guy just does it all the time. I mean, you count on him. You throw the ball, he's bringing it in. It doesn't matter who's around him.
So we have the Redskins, the Cowboys, the Falcons, the Cardinals, and the 49ers as our next great offenses. And they, of course, go along with the Broncos, Saints, Packers, Eagles, Lions, Chargers, Bears, Bengals, and the Colts. So target players when you're drafting your teams. It's important if you're deciding on two players. Target players that are on good offenses. It makes such a difference. You don't want to draft a guy. Let's give an example here, Ant.
Okay.
Toby Gerhart and Frank Gore. One's on the Jaguars, one's on the 49ers. It's Frank Gore all day, every day, right?
100%. You can't state fantasy point-wise what a great offense will do around him. If Toby Gerhart's your only weapon, then you're going to have 8 in a box every time, and he's not going to be getting the yardage and the touches that you're going to expect out of him.
Andre Johnson or Michael Floyd, where do you go there?
You got to like Michael Floyd. He's younger. He's not injury prone. Andre Johnson was a great, great guy fantasy-wise for a number of years, but you can tell he's slowing down, wanted to hold out. He's got the hamstring problem, bad quarterback on his team now. They didn't score a single point in a preseason game. That's a scary thing to think about.
So remember, commandment number 4 is draft players from the next great offense. It goes along with commandment number 3. Avoid players from bad offenses. I'm going to throw out some teams that are on the fringe of that next great offense. We have the New York Giants, St. Louis Rams, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Baltimore Ravens, and a surprise team here, but I love the offensive coordinator. We're going to get to that a little bit later. The Minnesota Vikings with North Turner in town.
Yeah, the Minnesota Vikings are going to be a fun team to watch this year. Adrian Peterson, you know, he's getting a little bit older, but Cordarrelle Patterson, man, that guy is a fun guy to watch play the game.
855-728-7500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. Web radio at patriots.com is the email. I think we should take one or two emails now before they start stacking up like crazy, and then we can take a quick break. I think the first email of the day is from Sean B. It says, hello, Bill and Ant. Why do you rank Calvin Johnson as the third best PPR wide receiver this season? I understand that he did not get the most points last year, but he was close while missing 2 games. Josh Gordon is not an option right now. He also has the best wide receiver over the last 3 years in PPR with finishing first overall in 2011 and 2012. Do you see him as an injury risk, or do you think he's slowing down? Now, a lot of controversy was made, Ant, when we released our rankings a couple weeks ago. you check out our rankings. We have customized rankings on FF Champs. They are all customized to your scoring system. So right now on our cheat sheet, we have Demaryius Thomas number one, Dez Bryant number two, and Calvin Johnson number three. That being said, there's 10-point differential between all three players. It's really not that big of a deal, but we just feel like if you're going to go out and draft one of these guys, Demaryius Thomas should be one, Dez Bryant two, and Calvin three.
Right. Again, if you have a pick in your draft, somewhere in the middle of the pack and all three are there, if you like Calvin Johnson the best, taking him as the first receiver off the board isn't going to be a bad thing. You get, like you said, they're 10 points away from each other. But
we're not mad at you for doing that. No way.
Exactly. That's but, fine. You know, the offense of Detroit, gaining Golden Tate and Eric Ebron and other players that Matthew Stafford can actually throw the ball to now is gonna help Calvin Johnson take coverage away, but he's also going to have to give up some catches and some targets to the other guys there now.
Yep. Production might dip a little bit just based on that alone.
Right.
There's only one ball to go around in Detroit. Did we see what Peyton Manning did last year in the regular season? Are we forgetting what Demaryius Thomas with his, what did he have, 14 touchdowns?
1,400
yards?
Yeah.
92 catches? Are we forgetting that Calvin Johnson, is now just a, I don't know, what is he, like the queen on the chessboard?
Yeah.
You know, Demaryius Thomas is like the queen on the chessboard for the Broncos. Calvin Johnson's a queen on the chessboard for the Lions. They're all the same. They're all in the same tier. We have the tiering system at FF Champs. They're all in the same tier. They're separated by 10 points. You know, it's really not a big deal that we don't have Calvin number one. He wasn't number one last year. Josh Gordon was. Guess who was number two? It was Demaryius.
Yeah, so Calvin Johnson, again, he's going to put up those points. For any other thing, you've got to factor in his age. I mean, Calvin Johnson's not old by any means, but he's another year older than Demaryius Thomas. So Demaryius Thomas, you know, age, Peyton Manning throwing the ball, who's better than Matthew Stafford. So a couple factors in there why we have Calvin Johnson number three.
All right, what do you say we take a quick break? Just getting started here on the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings.com. We're taking your phone calls next. Light up these phone lines. Let's get Kevin to work. 508-298-0398, 855-728-7500. That's the, what is that, toll-free number, Kev?
That is the, yes, that is the North American toll-free number, 855-PATS-500, which is 855-728-7500.
And you can also hit us up on email, webradio@patriots.com. Same faces in new places next, plus your phone calls, listening to patriots.com radio.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs, presented by DraftKings, right here on Patriots.com. Bill Enright with you, along with Anthony Grace and our producer, Kevin Collins. 855-728-7500, 855-PATS500 is the phone line. Webradio at Patriots.com is how you can email in your fantasy football questions. You know, it's officially draft season, boys. I mean, I'm getting a lot of expert advice tokens over at FFChamps.com. Everyone is drafting. They want to know their draft strategy. They want to know what's going on with, you know, training camp, preseason, who's getting hot, who's getting cold, who's injured, who's banged up. We just released our sleeper list. We just released our strength of schedule for quarterbacks and running backs. We got a lot going on at FFChamps.com because we know now is the season or the time of the year when people are drafting. And it bothers me a little bit because we always beg everybody to postpone your drafts until after the third preseason game, which this year is August 25th. That week before the week leading up to Labor Day and the few days leading after Labor Day before the season starts on Thursday is my opinion of the perfect draft time. Gentlemen, when are you guys hosting your drafts?
I got one on August 23rd and one on August 29th. So as late as I can make them with everybody being available.
Yeah, mine are, I feel like that first Tuesday and that first Wednesday after Labor Day, Bill.
Oh, okay. So you're going into September.
Yeah, we're in that spot there in the first week of the season. The first game. The first game's the Thursday night, right?
Correct.
Yeah, Thursday night, September 4th.
Yeah, so I have two leagues, one on Tuesday and one on Wednesday of that week.
That's perfect.
Okay, so the second and third. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I loved doing the drafts that week. But
yeah, we actually had a poll. We had like the email chain thing going around, and that's why the majority of the guys wanted to do it, and they wanted to do it on a weeknight and not tie up a sunny weekend where you could be at the beach or whatever.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Labor Day, you know, a lot of people go away, so it's tough to do it that weekend. But
yeah, and for a lot of us that are, I'll say, like work in football, it's kind of the last little weekend you might have some time off in, you know, before you really get cranking.
Yeah. That was 4th of July weekend for me.
Well, for a lot of us, too, but we'll get, you know, I think I'll get Monday off at least that week.
Yeah?
We might not get Saturday and Sunday, but we'll get Monday.
I don't know.
For me, maybe.
Yeah, you'd be lucky.
Saturday, what was it? This past Saturday broke up a stretch. Friday was my 20th straight day without a day off. So
really?
Saturday was my first day off in 3 weeks. So
how'd you get down to Washington?
I flew with the team on Sunday. And then I flew home, actually, commercially on Thursday before the game to do the pre- and the post-game show.
Oh, wow.
So it was a hectic. They had me on, like, a 1 o'clock flight out of BWI, Bill. So it was, like, I had to work on Thursday morning, and then I, like, drove the rental, returned the rental, just made the flight, like, by the skin of my teeth.
Yeah.
Then get here, or land in Boston. Now, my car's at Gillette. And I land in Boston, and it's probably 40 minutes with no traffic to get from Logan to here. Now I'm in, like, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock. By the time the cab gets me, it's probably 4 o'clock.
Right.
And I'm not only in rush hour traffic, but once we got out of rush hour traffic, there was a concert here. One Direction was playing here at the stadium.
I'm sure you love that.
So, you know, I was just jamming. So now I'm, like, a mile away in bumper-to-bumper traffic, and I have all this radio gear, and I'm like, I thought about, can I get out and hoof it down the sidewalk? And I'm like, no, I'm not carrying all this stuff a mile. So I barely made it. The show started at 5:15, and I probably walked in at like 4:55.
All right.
It was a nightmare.
All right, well, let's get back on track here. So your drafts are the first week of September.
Yeah, isn't that like an ideal like spot to do it, though?
It is. Like I said, last week of August, first week of September. But as long as it's after the third preseason game. I go crazy when people are drafting. Listen, I hate to say it, but there's going to be injuries the next 2 weeks, the next 3 weeks, that are going to impact fantasy football. And if you drafted already and you picked one of these guys that are bound to get injured in the next couple of weeks, you're screwed. You know, that's why you want to avoid. Listen, a guy gets injured in week three, at least it's a regular season. You draft a guy and he gets injured in the third preseason game. That's terrible. I never understand why people are such in a rush to have their fantasy drafts so early in the season. It makes no sense to me.
It's a lot of fun. It's the lead up to it. You want to get to it, but you don't want to rush it because...
Do mock drafts then.
Yeah, exactly. Like a fine wine, age is perfection when you're coming to your draft.
And not only that, you know how many different depth chart changes there'll be after the third preseason game? You want to go in prepared as better prepared as possible. You can't go in there blind and just go off some training camp reports, some OTAs, some mini camp. You want to see these guys in action. And if you don't want to watch the preseason games, don't worry about it. I do. We do. And we give it all the information to you, who's trending up, who's trending down at ffchamps.com. But let me do my job. Let me do my job in the start of the preseason to help you prepare the best way possible. I can't do that with just training camp. Let me watch some preseason games. Let me adjust my rankings a little bit. I had Andre Brown pegged as Arian Foster's backup. They signed him in the offseason. I thought he was the clear-cut number two. Guess what happened? He got cut yesterday. Peace. You're on the street. Now we got some guy, Jonathan Grimes, as the backup to Arian Foster. So if you handcuffed Andre Brown to Arian Foster, who, by the way, is going to make my bust list this year,
you
have to go out and pick up Jonathan Grimes. But you wouldn't even have to worry about Andre Brown if you just waited a couple more weeks. Next week, I guarantee we'll be talking about injuries. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. It happens, right?
Nothing you can do about it. And, you know, like you said, players get hurt during regular season. There's nothing you can do. It started for real. But if they get hurt during this, you're going to feel like a real putz.
Yeah. All right, let's answer some emails. Webradio@patriots.com. We got my man Josh in Connecticut up first. Right? You see the first one?
Let's see. I got one from Nick right here.
Listen, Nick's my man from FF Champs. He asked, like, he wrote a Bible.
It was long.
There's scripture here. Try to get to half of his question. I can't do the whole thing. We got too much to do.
All right, you got Josh? Let's do Josh first.
All right, let's go to Josh.
All right.
Sorry, Nick. Too much there. He wrote a Bible verse. Like, this is like it's a dictionary worth of stuff in there.
Oh, man. Psalm 4:13.
Let's go to Josh. You have Josh emails in front of you?
All right, let's see. Josh says, hey, guys, Josh from Stratford, Connecticut again. So I showed Bill a text I got from one of my league rivals, and to my surprise, he is picking a quarterback first round of the draft. He happens to be the only one in front of me. Who should I pick with my first pick, seeing how only Peyton Manning will be off the board in a standard league? Thanks again, guys. And as always, you are hashtag the truth.
P.S. Love the mock draft and the draft tracker on the site. Josh just signed up for FF Champs last week, by the way. I suggest everyone does it. We're going to help you win your leagues. We're going to have some really cool prizes. We're going to have a way that you can compete against us here on Patriots.com radio. So you go to ffchamps.com/Pats, and you get a free membership, free, to ffchamps.com. You can't beat that offer, ffchamps.com/Pats. Josh took advantage of it last week. He's already doing the mock draft, and the draft tracker is going to keep him organized, two of the greatest tools that we have over at our website. So apparently, his opponent is taking Peyton Manning with the first overall pick. Is that what I'm getting here from this?
That's what he's saying.
This email?
Peyton Manning's going number one, and Josh is picking right behind him. So Josh has the real first pick in this draft, it sounds like.
Right. So, listen, one of our Ten Commandments is thou shalt wait on thy quarterback. We went over that last week. I'm sure we're going to get hammered with it all the time. When do I draft Peyton Manning? When do I draft Drew Brees? What about Aaron Rodgers? We always wait on our quarterbacks. I can guarantee that none of those three guys will be on my teams this year. They just go way too early. Josh, like you said, essentially has the number one pick in our opinion because Peyton Manning's off the board. That's fine. He's got to go LeSean McCoy here.
He's our number one back
in both PPR and non-PPR format. McCoy is the way to go.
Definitely. There's no way around it. LeSean McCoy should be the number one player off the board no matter what kind of league scoring system you have going on.
All right, what's the next next question is from... Who was the next question from?
Let's see. The next question we got here is from... Looks like Andrew's coming up next.
Hey, guys, please announce my question as Big Money. All right, so Big Money. Money spelled with a U. M-U-N-N-Y. I am a GM in a GM league, keeper league. I have no idea what that means. Meaning we can trade and move around the draft in the off season during the season for future drafts. I am in a GM league keeper league. He's in a keeper league.
Yes.
Yeah, so my question is: I have picks 1-3 and 1-5. My three keepers are Monte Ball in the second, LeSean McCoy in the second, and as of now, Jeremy Maclin in the 15th. How does he have 2 second-round picks? Maybe he traded somebody?
Yeah, it seems like they can trade draft picks around, so that's why he's got 2 first-round draft picks coming up this draft.
And he's keeping 2 players in the second round.
Correct.
McCoy and Monte Ball. Wow, right. That's a hell of a combo, huh?
Damn right. 2 first-round players in the second round, and you have 2 other first-round picks. You should be doing work in this league.
All right, so Maclin, he's keeping in the 15th. Well, he wants to know, what should he do with the top guys? He has 2 top-5 picks. What should he do with them? He thinks Peterson, Megatron, Matt Forte, Drew Brees, Marshawn Lynch, Brandon Marshall, and Dez Bryant will all be available.
Wow. Well, if all those guys are available, what I'm doing with 2 stud running backs like that, I think you're best off going with 2 stud wide receivers. You can get Brandon Marshall and Calvin Johnson or Dez Bryant, 2 of those 3 guys. That's probably your best bet. Jimmy Graham's not a bad pickup right there. You'll have the...
Nah, Jimmy Graham's being kept, he said.
Oh, Jimmy Graham's being kept. I'm sorry. Yeah. Right there. But 2 of those 3 big wide receivers would be your best bet, in my opinion, knowing you can definitely start 2 of them.
All right, so that one's for Big Money. We're telling you to go with Calvin Johnson, Brandon Marshall, Dez Bryant, 1 of those 3 receivers. Or 2 of those 3 receivers, really.
Yeah.
You don't think he takes... I would love to know if he has a flex, because he can take Peterson.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too.
Flex,
but...
All right. What's the next email? Dan Martin?
Let's see, Dan Martin here. So Dan Martin says, at long last, the truce have returned. Had some bad luck on all fronts, so I'm thinking of changing up the strategy and wondering what you guys think. The running back strategy let me down with my number one. Guy's either tanking my season through injury or busting. Richardson and Martin. Yeah, feeling on that. If I find myself staring at one of the top three backs, it would be crazy to pass on all of them for my favorite top wide receiver, and maybe even take the next best wide receiver or one of the best tight ends on the way back, and take my chances with Le'Veon Bell, Gio Bernard, etc. for my top backs. Maybe even try to steal the top three handcuffs in the late rounds.
That's a lot of information there.
It is, both standard and or PPR leagues. So basically what it's saying he wants to do is he's thinking about, with the top pick, taking a receiver, going basically wide receiver, instead of going running back, and taking a chance with a Le'Veon Bell or a Gio Bernard for his top running back.
Listen, if he got screwed last year with Doug Martin and Trent Richardson, why would waiting to the second round and going after like a Le'Veon Bell help him out any more than what he did last year? Just because he'll have that wide receiver in the first round?
Yeah, I don't think it says where he's drafting at right now, so that's the other thing. I mean, if you're drafting at the top of the first round, you can't pass up McCoy, Charles, or Adrian Peterson for one of those guys.
So that's essentially his question. He has a top. If he had a top three pick, Peterson, McCoy, Charles are all on the board, would it be crazy to pass one of them up and take a wide receiver? The answer is yes, especially if you're in a non-PPR league. Non-PPR, you go with running back. PPR league, Forte should be number four, and then you can take Demaryius, Dez, or Calvin at five. But in a non-PPR league, you're not taking one of those wide receiver over one of those three backs. Can't do it, won't do it. I want winners.
Agreed.
Next question is another one from Nick. All right, so he shortened his question a lot. I guess my main question is this. Fourth round too early for Stafford.
Matthew Stafford. I mean, his ADP right now is middle of the fourth round. So if you got a middle fourth round pick, I technically know it's not too early. But if you can wait and get yourself a RG3 or a Colin Kaepernick around 7 or Tony Romo around 8, you might be able to build a better foundation in your running back and wide receiver core.
Where do we have Stafford ranked?
We got Stafford number 4, right behind Drew Brees.
Right. Andrew Luck, 5. Nick Foles, 6. Robert Griffin, 3rd, 7. Tony Romo, 9. I skipped 8 because that's Colin Kaepernick. And then 10, Matt Ryan. I don't think Stafford is that much of a difference than a Luck, a Foles, or a Griffin. Do you?
No, I mean, the difference between Matt Stafford and Matt Ryan now is 50 points, which, breaking it down, is what, 3 points a week, something like that? So you're not getting a huge advantage taking Matthew Stafford in the fourth round, when you can maybe grab a, you know, Shane Vereen might be sitting there if you're in your PPR league, Michael Crabtree, a Fitzgerald, or Michael Floyd. You got a lot better options that should be on the board for you than a quarterback.
All right, next email is from Mike Rogan, my boy out of New York City. Boys, why do I feel so unsure about Matt Forte's season? People are saying he's a top 10 pick. Why can't I buy into him? Am I crazy? P.S. Welcome back, Kevin. The youth of America looks up to you. There you go, Kev. The youth of America looking up to you, pal.
Yeah, that guy tweets that at me all the time, and I still don't know what that means.
Mike's crazy, man. I love Mike on Twitter. He's hilarious. But I don't know what that means.
No, I don't know what it means either, especially when it's being tweeted at me, like, you know, every few days.
Like, just random tweets?
Yeah, random tweets that says, like, at Pat's Radio Kev, the youth of America looks up to you. How do I take that?
You take it as a compliment. Thanks. Thanks,
no,
Mike.
I guess, but I just feel like he's mocking me.
He's having fun.
Fine. It's all in good fun. Twitter itself is all in good fun.
Yeah. All right. So his question, Matt Forte. Are we down on Matt Forte? I don't think so. He's our number 4 running back. Non-PPR and PPR. I mean, the guy had a phenomenal season last year. 1,300 yards on the ground, 594 yards receiving, 12 total touchdowns, 74 catches out of the backfield. 74. That's PPR. I don't know. Is platinum more than gold? I think it is.
That's
PPR platinum. Yeah, 74 catches out of the backfield. If you're in a non-PPR league, maybe you want to take Eddie Lacy over him. That's fine. But I think he's a top 5 pick this year. Matt Forte, book it.
He should be a top 4 pick. If he's not, then there's a problem in that league. He should
if
be
he's
a top
not,
4
he
pick.
Got, if he's not a top 5 finisher at the end of the year, he got hurt.
Yeah, that's the only way. I mean, Mark Trestman set him up for career highs in virtually every single offensive category last year. I mean, he finished in PPR. He finished as the second best running back behind Jamal Charles, ahead of LeSean McCoy. So,
yeah. All right, what do you say we get into some same faces, new places, talk about, you know, free agency over the last couple of months, try to catch people up. I know everybody wasn't paying attention or maybe forgot some players, changed teams, or went to, you know, new systems. I think that's important that we go over some of these guys. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right, start off with quarterbacks, Kev. Anthony.
All right, so quarterbacks. Our first quarterback on the list is Josh McCown, moving from Chicago down to Tampa Bay.
Okay, who's next? Read them off to me, and then we'll do some analysis.
All right, we'll do some analysis. All right, so we got Josh McCown, we got Michael Vick going to the New York Jets, Matt Schaub to the Raiders, Ryan Fitzpatrick takes over for the Texans, and Mark Sanchez is going to Philadelphia.
Now, of these quarterbacks, I'd say maybe two of them have a fantasy impact this year.
Yeah, well, we all know Mark Sanchez.
You care to guess which two?
We know Mark Sanchez is going to be the backup for Nick Foles. So unless something horrible happens to Nick Foles, Mark Sanchez should not be on your radars at all. Michael Vick, I feel like, is the same thing. Geno Smith should end up being the quarterback. Whoever it is, though, I don't know how much value you're going to get out of either one of those guys. Josh McCown is top on the list for if you're going to take a chance on someone out of these five guys, he should be the first one off the board.
Do you think that Josh McCown will have a better season, let's say, than Andy Dalton?
Oh, man. You know what? I don't want to say yes right now. Based on what I saw in that first preseason game, he looked pretty uncomfortable with that new offense. I mean, he had a great six-game stretch last year in Chicago.
Right.
1,800 yards, 13 touchdowns, but outside of that year, even when he started more games, he's never accumulated yards like that. One other time he passed that yardage mark, and that's the most touchdowns he's ever thrown in his career. So he's got Vincent Jackson, he's got Mike Evans, two big receivers. He should be able to put up some points, but I'm not comfortable enough taking him ahead of Andy Dalton, especially with someone like A.J. Green he has to work with.
Do we think Mike Vick plays more than 10 games for the Jets this year?
And well, you know, even if he starts, you know he's going to miss 4 to 6 games based on injury.
Right.
So I'm going to say no, he does not play. Unless Geno Smith is that horrific or gets hurt, Michael Vick's not going to see the field too frequently, I don't think.
So kind of a wash for the quarterback, same faces, new places.
Yeah, nothing that really should get you too excited, I don't think.
Running backs, on the other hand.
Yeah, we had a couple of guys moving around running backs. So we got Toby Gerhart on that Jacksonville Jaguars squad.
Yep.
Rashard Jennings going to the New York Giants. Ben Tate into Cleveland, Chris Johnson joined the Jets, MJD to Oakland, Noshawn Moreno to Miami, Darren Sproles to Philadelphia, LeGarrette Blount to Pittsburgh, Donald Brown to San Diego. Well, we had Andre Brown to the Texans, but that is a marriage that's no longer happening.
All right, let's start from the top here. Toby Gerhart, Jacksonville Jaguars. Gerhart is a guy... Boy, he was great coming out of Stanford a couple years ago, but throughout his NFL career, he's just been Adrian Peterson's backup.
Yeah, he's been in the shadow.
Right. Finally has the opportunity to himself in Jacksonville. They're talking about making him one of the few workhorses in the NFL, in the league today. But already he's dealing with a hip flexor issue, kept him out of the first preseason game. I know the Jags don't have a lot going on offense. If they have anything, it's going to be Gerhart.
Yeah, if anything, yeah, you're correct. It's going to be Gerhart. The wide receiver situation there is not looking too good. The quarterback situation, obviously, we don't know with Blake Bortles being a rookie. Chad Henne's just, it's Chad Henne. You don't want him anyway. So if Toby Gerhart does play, he's going to touch the ball frequently and often. So if you get Toby Gerhart in, you know, fifth, sixth round, he could end up paying dividends for you very, very quickly.
And Rashard Jennings on the New York Giants. I think, what did he have, Kev? The easiest strength of schedule?
Yeah, he does. The New York Giants do have the easiest strength of schedule in the NFL this year. So Rashard Jennings should be someone on your radar, especially if you're using wide receivers or someone like Jimmy Graham as your first-round pick. Rashard Jennings could come in and definitely be a running back two, potentially a running back one, depending on how the season shakes out for him.
Now, if you saw the first preseason game, Jennings had a 73-yard touchdown, and I didn't think he was that fast. But boy, he showed his speed on that play, didn't he?
Yeah, he looked great in that first game, so I'm a big fan of what he's doing. I mean, Andre Williams behind him does no slouch either, so he's going to push him the entire time, and that should just light a fire under Rashard Jennings and just give him a better year, I think.
Jennings is going to be the guy that catches a lot of passes for the Giants. He's going to get a lot of action in between the 20s. But I think when it gets to the goal line, you're right. Andre Williams is a rookie, and I think he's going to steal, he's going to vulture some of those touchdowns from Rashad Jennings.
Yeah, he definitely will.
Let's stick in New York, where Chris Johnson, the player formerly known as CJ2K, is now with the New York Jets. What do we make of the Jets situation at running back?
Well, the Jets situation at running back, I mean, Chris Johnson's going to have to be the man. Chris Ivory's behind him, but Chris Ivory is hurt every other week, basically. So Chris Johnson's going to be the man. And I get a lot where people are down on Chris Johnson, but every single year the guy puts up 1,000 yards consistently, 6 touchdowns basically every single year. So you might be down on him, but if you can pick him up, another guy who people don't like, but he's consistent. That's what you want.
To me, Chris Johnson is the perfect flex play this year. Listen, he's not a top 5 pick anymore. He hasn't been pretty much since that 2,000-yard season. He was great once upon a time, but he's slowly on the decline. That being said, I think he could get revitalized with the new team.
Right.
I think the Jets really don't have a lot of other options but to give him the ball, especially in the passing game. Chris Ivory is always hurt. Rex Ryan is saying that they want a running back by committee, but I'm not buying it. I think Chris Johnson's going to be the lead back for the New York Jets all season long. So if you draft him in the 4th or the 5th round and you use him as your flex, you're going to be happy you did.
Yes, 100% agree with that.
All right, let's move over to the Cleveland Browns, where Arian Foster's former handcuff, Ben Tate, is now the lead guy in the Browns' backfield.
I was real excited when Ben Tate signed with Cleveland, but watching Terrence Weston this preseason and what I've seen from him so far, man, Ben Tate's not a given to be the number one running back there, I don't think, come the beginning of the season.
What do you think of the fact that Terrence Williams, the rookie out of Towson, is starting to creep up that depth chart a little bit, starting to make some noise out of their Cleveland Browns training camp?
Yeah, like I said, Terrence West is going to be, I mean, if you're picking up Ben Tate, you must handcuff Terrence West to him because they're going to start splitting carries. And if Terrence West takes off, Ben Tate's going to get another seat like he had in Houston. So Ben Tate's getting picked end of the 6th round right now. You can wait on Terrence West 5 more rounds and maybe get a little more value for yourself.
You know, I'm in a dynasty league, and I'm really debating on who to take with that third. I have the 3rd pick. It's a rookie only draft.
Okay.
I don't know if I should take Terrence West or Jeremy Hill.
That's a
tough one. I'm getting sidetracked a little bit here, but I know Ben Tate doesn't stay healthy, and I love Terrence West's upside.
Yeah, Jeremy Hill. I mean, Jeremy Hill's got Gio Bernard in front of him, who's still a young guy, and he's going to get a chance to prove himself. And Terrence West might be your best pickup right there.
All right, let's move over to the Oakland Raiders, where Maurice Jones-Drew, MJD, is now inside the black hole playing out there in the NFC West. What do you think of MJD this year?
I think Oakland Raiders are a team, like we mentioned, we're staying away from. MJD might be a player you want to draft. If you get good value for him, maybe he can do something for you if he stays healthy. But between him and Darren McFadden behind him, there's going to be a lot of injuries. And it's just a scary backfield back there and not a lot I want to have to do with at all.
Next couple of players I'm going to mention, I really don't want to talk too much about them because I don't expect a whole lot. No Sean Moreno with the Miami Dolphins. Now that he's not with the Denver Broncos, I don't think Moreno will be a fantasy impact player. And then Donald Brown with the San Diego Chargers. Ryan Matthews, Danny Woodhead, too much in front of him. I don't think Donald Brown does what we saw him do with the Colts last year.
Agreed, 100%. Donald Brown, he was good when he played. He might get that chance, but odds are he's not going to see a lot of touches this year.
How about LeGarrette Blount signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers, a player that the Patriot fans are very familiar with, seeing him play for the last few seasons? LeGarrette Blount, do you think he steals touchdowns from Le'Veon Bell?
He might get a couple touches here and there. I mean, he's one of those guys, he had one real great season, and after that hasn't done too much. But like we saw last year in the playoffs for the Patriots, I mean, sometimes this guy can get going and get some stuff done. He's going to get some goal line touches. He's a bigger guy, but other than those potential touches, I don't see him picking up a lot of yards or doing much for you.
All right, finally, we have Darren Sproles leaving one of the most creative offenses in the NFL from the New Orleans Saints and lands with one of the most creative offenses in the NFL with the Philadelphia Eagles. Sproles has been one of my favorite fantasy players because I play in mostly PPR leagues. He's been one of my favorites the last couple of seasons. Do we think he kind of has a little bit of a resurgence here in 2014?
Seeing him play with Chip Kelly is going to be a lot of fun. They got to replace DeSean Jackson. I know they got Jeremy Maclin coming back, but you don't know what he's going to give you. And Darren Sproles is consistent. Every year he gets target after target out of the backfield, and the Eagle, Chip Kelly's going to line him up all over the field. A lot of two-back sets with him and LeSean McCoy. It's going to be very interesting to see what he does. But PPR leagues, he's definitely going to do what he does every single year, and that's give you points.
All right, so the running backs, just to review, Toby Gerhart's with the Jags, Rashad Jennings, the Giants, we love that, Ben Tate with the Browns, yes, to stay healthy, Chris Johnson on the Jets, perfect for a flex play, MJD with the Raiders, already running with the first team, so long, Darren McFadden, you're always injured anyway, no Sean Moreno from the Dolphins, we're staying away from him, because he's not with the Broncos anymore, big difference going from the Broncos to the Dolphins. Darren Sproles with the Eagles, we love that, especially if you're in a PPR league. LeGarrette Blount from the Steelers, if you draft Le'Veon Bell, make sure you handcuff LeGarrette Blount to him. Donald Brown with the Chargers, we'll see. Maybe Ryan Matthews goes down with an injury, but until then, I don't expect a whole lot of action from Donald Brown. Ant, what do you say we move it over to wide receivers? I want to talk about a few names here, and then we'll go through the list. Start off with DeSean Jackson on the Redskins. We talked about him earlier when we were discussing the Washington Redskins being, you know, one of those next great offenses in the NFL. So D-Jax comes from, stays very familiar with the NFC East since he played his entire career thus far with the Philadelphia Eagles. We know Robert Griffin III has a great deep ball, and DeSean Jackson's a big-time deep threat. We think this is good chemistry here?
I think it's going to be a great matchup for DeSean Jackson. He's going to have the same teams he's playing, NFC East, Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants, he knows them well. And those two games against Philadelphia, he's going to come to play because he's going to feel like he was mistreated, getting kicked out of there by Chip Kelly. We don't know the whole circumstance, a lot of rumors flying around there, but he's going to have a lot to prove against the Eagles. And those two games, don't be surprised if he's the best receiver that week because he's going to come and bring all that he has.
All right, we mentioned No'Shawn Moreno leaving the Denver Broncos to go to the AFC East with the Miami Dolphins. His former teammate Eric Decker did the same thing. Leaves the Broncos, comes to the AFC East, and now he's with the New York Jets. Now, obviously, it's a totally different ball game catching passes from Peyton Manning to now catching passes from Geno Smith or Mike Vick. But something tells me Eric Decker's still going to get it done. Maybe not the same level of production, but he's going to be a good wide receiver three because, to be honest with you, who do the Jets have in the passing game? Nobody.
They don't at all. So, yeah, Eric Decker, he's going to be one of those guys, like you said. If you have him as a wide receiver three or a flex player, you're going to get something out of him. But you can't expect more than that going to the New York Jets. I mean, Geno Smith, hopefully he develops a little bit further this year, but he hasn't shown too much yet that he has that ability to get the ball to a receiver that's that dynamic like Eric Decker can be.
All right, sticking with the wide receiver, same faces in new places. Golden Tate of the Detroit Lions, he goes from a run-first team with the Seahawks. He won a Super Bowl. Now he's out there playing in Detroit. Think that the Detroit Lions finally found a solid number two wide receiver to go along with Megatron?
Golden Tate's the best guy they've brought in thus far in Megatron's career, so I like what he does. He was the number one receiver on Seattle last year, caught 64 passes, about 900 yards, 5 touchdowns. Those are numbers he can for sure replicate in Detroit, just being the number two guy, and if he does that for you, he's going to be a wide receiver two or a flex play, so you're going to see something you like from Golden Tate this year once again.
The Denver Broncos. Remember, Kevin, you there? Kevin.
I'm here.
All right. Remember a couple years ago the Patriots tried to nab Emmanuel Sanders from the Pittsburgh
Steelers? And they, what did they, give up a...
They were willing to give up a first-round pick. Yeah, but he signed a deal with the Colts. Signed a deal with the Steelers. Well, guess what? The Broncos went ahead and grabbed Emmanuel Sanders this year. Kevin, did that rub you the wrong way?
It does rub me the wrong way. I mean, get all the guys I like, Wes Welker, Manny Sanders. Get everybody.
Now, Emmanuel Sanders, I'm really high on this guy only because he plays alongside Peyton Manning, Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, a lot of weapons out there in Denver, and Sanders is going to be that Eric Decker replacement. They still got Welker, but Sanders is going to be the guy that replaces Eric Decker. So I'm really high on Emmanuel Sanders this year. He's one of our top sleepers, and when I say sleepers, I mean he's one of those guys that we're targeting. All right, I think sleeper is one of the most overused terms in all fantasy football. We break it down into three categories. Our guys, undervalued, and long shots. Emmanuel Sanders is one of those players that makes the our guys list. I'm targeting him on all of my teams. You get him in the fifth or the sixth round, and he puts up great wide receiver two type numbers. So Emmanuel Sanders leaves Pittsburgh Steelers. Now he's with the Denver Broncos. How about Hakeem Nicks leaving the Giants and playing with the Colts? He's apparently the team's number three wide receiver behind Reggie Wayne and T.Y. Hilton. Not sure what to expect from Akeem Nicks anymore.
It's going to be interesting to see what he does. I think going to the Colts, that puts him on a lot better offense. Andrew Luck is a better quarterback than Eli Manning. So if Akeem Nicks is going to re-energize his career, this is a great place for him to start to do it.
All right, moving on to some not necessarily big-time fantasy impact players. We have Jericho Cotchery leaving the Steelers, joining the Panthers. Mike Williams joining the Bills. Miles Austin from the Cowboys goes to the Browns. Lance Moore fills that Jericho Cotchery role. Emmanuel Sanders role goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steve Smith goes from the Carolina Panthers, kind of leaves them receiverless by joining the Baltimore Ravens. Kenny Britt joins his original head coach, Jeff Fisher, when he was with the Titans. He joins the St. Louis Rams. Brandon LaFell joins the New England Patriots. Let's stop there and talk about Brandon LaFell a little bit. Kevin, what's the situation? Is he making any noise up there in New England?
What'd you just say, Bill?
Never mind. We're moving on.
I was trying to figure something out.
Brandon LaFell, how's he looking at camp?
No, he's looked terrible so far.
Really?
Yeah, he's looked awful.
That's not a surprise.
There's
a
lot of people thinking he might get cut.
No way.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, he's owed a lot of money, guaranteed money, so that might be the one thing that saved him. But he's not going to earn a spot on this team. He might just get one because they don't want to throw away that much money.
He never got it done. He was a high draft pick at
no
LSU.
Hands.
For
no hands.
Panthers,
KP, Bill,
balls.
Can't play.
Can't
but
play.
He goes up. There's been a lot of drills in practice where he's gone up over a smaller defensive back. And the one thing that struck me, Bill, immediately was his size, like how much taller he is compared to all the other Patriot wideouts, with the exception of Dobson.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at him next to Edelman and in Amendola especially, and he just towers over them. And he's gone up for several balls and had both hands on the ball.
Yeah.
And he just has really weak hands. It either comes out on his way down to the ground or gets punched out. He just doesn't seem to have very strong hands. And that's been one of the things, the knocks on him. The other one is he just doesn't create a lot of separation. And I don't really consider him a burner. But, you know, when he's running these routes in 7-on-7, he's not really getting open. So he's not really shown anything so far.
Well, I know Aaron Dobson was just activated from the pup list today.
He was.
Right?
He was in pads today, yeah.
Oh, great.
So that's a good sign long term. But, you know, we're all waiting with bated breath because he's just been, you know, he's a guy that's been healthy for two games and missed four. And that's been, like, his shtick.
Right.
But LaFell, like, you know, if he's on this team, I think it's going to be because of the deal he signed. And we keep talking about on PFW during the week, he's kind of coming as advertised. Like, a guy that has a lot of, I think, raw talent. He's got some speed. He's got some
size.
He's
athletic. He can't hang on to the football.
He's got a lot of the tools. But when it comes to getting separation, getting open, and catching, which are, like, critical to receivers, like, he doesn't really excel in any of those things. So a lot of the bugaboos that kind of followed him around in Carolina, you know, and a lot of the criticism he took in Carolina, he's not really disproven it here so far.
Couple more new same faces in new places. You got Nate Burleson leaving the Lions, joining the Browns, and then Andre Roberts leaves the Cardinals and joins the Redskins. I also have Dexter McCluster on this list. Was drafted out of Ole Miss by the Kansas City Chiefs, used primarily as a wide receiver, but I might have to change his position because I think the Titans are going to use him more as a running back.
That's what it looks like. They're listing him as a running back, so we're going to see what happens. But that guy, you know, he's another guy who can do anything. He can run the ball. He's just he's a Swiss Army knife, if I may, of the football world.
Now, Kevin, Ken, we're going to get into the coaching changes after we take a break, but remember, Ken Whisenhunt was with the Chargers last year. We all saw how he used Danny Woodhead. I wouldn't be surprised if Dexter McCluster takes on that Woodhead role. Comes in on third down, lines up at wide receiver, lines up in the backfield, catches a lot of passes. I think McCluster would fit that skill set.
He's going to get a lot of different looks, that's for sure. It's going to be fun to see how they use him.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Up next, coaching changes, plus more of your phone calls, 855-728. 7500 and your emails, webradio@patriots.com. Call in now while we're taking a break. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings. Get your free FF Champs membership. Go to ffchamps.com/pats. We'll be back right after this.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Alright, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Get your free FF Champs membership. Very easy. FFChamps.com/Pats. You'll be happy you did. You'll win your league. You'll win a lot of money. You'll get a lot of bragging rights. We're going straight to the phone lines. 855-728-7500. My man Russell in NYC is in a 12-team PPR league. What's going on, Russell?
Oh, hey guys. How's it going today?
Going great. How are you?
I figured I would call in since I'm always bothering you on Twitter and emails and SF Champs and whatever. So why not? You know, I have no life anyway, so I may as well just, you know, keep bothering you guys.
Did you figure out your email situation?
Yeah, email's figured out, and I'm now, like, doing a ton of mock drafts in FF Champs, which I recommend to everybody. I do have a quick question about that, though, which is, like, I'm going against the computer most often. I mean, is there, like, a bunch of human intelligence out there? Or, like, how do you draft against other people in FF Champs?
You can create your own public or your own private
got it. Mock, and then invite others.
And then invite other people, yeah.
Okay. All right, no, sweet. Look, real quick, I don't want
But keep in mind, Russ, yeah. our draft software, the mock draft that you're talking about, it goes off ADP, average draft position. So that's really like kind of a personalized, you know, people doing it. It's not a computer.
No, it's great.
It's all
actually,
off ADP.
Much better than everything else that's out there. I actually tweeted out to my, you know, 78 followers who, I don't know how important that is, but, you know, stop wasting time with ESPN and get on Fantasy Football Champs. The stupid thing about ESPN is they only do standard. And, like, what's the point of going into a standard draft when you're playing PPR? And I don't think a lot of people get that. So
last week there was this great article. I don't know if it was on Deadspin or Bro Bible or one of those sites, but it was basically this guy that was trolling all these ESPN mock drafts. He was taking, like, Vince Young in the first round. He was taking, like, a kicker in, like, the second round. Oh, it was so funny. I literally laughed out loud.
That was classic. Yeah,
that was really funny. But you don't have that problem in FF Champs.
No, you don't. As a matter of fact, actually, I'm finding it to be much more like reality. I don't know if I'm going to get Monkey Ball in the second round as the fifth pick, but I can pray that I do. But let me just get to my question so I don't hog up all the airtime today. So basically, I found out for my big $1,000, you know, $12,000 prize pool that I'm the fifth pick. And so far, it looks like I'm going to be presented with, like, Forte or go, like, the Demaryius Dez route.
Okay.
And I was wondering, like, what do you guys think? Because, I mean, if I go Demaryius, it looks like I'll have, like, Jordy coming on the way back. But if I go Forte, you know, everything goes weird from there. So, I don't know. Like, I'm leaning, like, wide receiver like we talked about last week. Like, wide receiver, and then, like, get into the second tier of, like, Joyc Bell, Shane Vereen, like guys like that. So
not in the second round.
No, third round. So I would go like Demaryius, Jordy, and then like in the third round is where I'd have to start looking for the running back.
You don't think if you go Forte or Lacy or Monte Ball in the first round, you don't think you'll get like a Marshall, Julio Jones in the second?
I doubt it. I don't think I'll get that on the way back. Yeah,
I'm with you there. I like taking that wide receiver in the first. And, Anthony, I think you agree with me.
I do, 100%.
Wide receiver in the first is smart. It sets a tone for your draft, and it kind of makes the other managers behind you almost play your game. Because now they're going to start taking wide receivers, and then maybe some of the running backs follow you. I don't like the idea of taking Jordy in the second. I'd rather see you get a Le'Veon Bell, a Giovanni Bernard, one of those running backs that can catch passes, and then go after the third receiver in the third round.
Yeah, it seems like Ellington might come back, or a guy like you just mentioned. Gio's weird. I've seen Gio going high, and I've seen Gio going really low.
Yeah, so, he's one of those players, man. He goes all over the place. I love him.
Okay. All right, sweet. And then one more, if I could. It seems like then you guys have Kaepernick and Romo kind of in the same basket, and I'm thinking, like, by the sixth round, I'm going to have to jump on a QB. So, like, if it's Cap versus Romo, where you have them about even, it sounds like.
Yeah, we have them about even. They're in the same tier.
Okay. Awesome.
So,
I mean,
so
I have another
listen.
Question, but
so here's the bottom line with that. How many points do you get for passing touchdowns?
Our touchdowns are all graded the same way. So what is it? 6 points? I mean, you know, it's not like running versus passing. I think it's six.
Then they're both even. Because if it was four, Kaepernick would get the edge because he gets the rushing touchdowns.
No, totally even. You know, we don't get into that. We do have, you do lose a quarter of a point for a drop for incomplete passes.
Really?
Wow, that's different.
Yeah, like because he wants to he wants to put weight on passing accuracy, so your completion percentage weighs into things.
Oh wow! So you might really want to go after. you might want to go after a guy like Brady and just wait, because his completion percentage is great.
Yeah, I mean, I saw you guys have Brady pretty high up there. My buddy who drafted Brady last year got destroyed. So I guess you're looking for a better year from Brady.
Yeah, Gronk's healthy. Well,
I mean, but
not that, I shouldn't say that. Gronk is expected to start the season week one. Last year we didn't get him till midway through the season, and then once he came back, Brady's numbers were dynamite. Let's keep that in mind. Once Gronk and Shane Vereen,
guy like Brady.
Russell, once Gronk and Shane Vereen were on the field, Brady's numbers went through the roof. It's without those two playmakers in the passing game where you started to see a little bit more LeGarrette Blount. You started to see a little bit more action from Stephen Ridley. Julian Edelman caught a lot of passes. But Brady's numbers are very reliant on Rob Gronkowski and Shane Vereen staying on the field.
Right. Right. All right, I'll keep an eye on a guy like him. I mean, I think people are nervous about him based on last year, but you're right. You can't fall into that trap of looking at the prior year, you know, the recency bias, and, you know, totally just throwing stuff out the window based on that.
The quarter of a point per drop pass scares me a little bit. I never heard of that.
Okay. All right, hey, listen, speaking of Gronkowski, so quick one on that.
Yeah.
I mean, you got – so basically everybody in the Twitter sphere puts – four tight ends, basically, in Tier 1. We know it would be three tight ends, but people throw Jordan Cameron in there as fourth. But my thing is, I don't think I'm going to get any four of those guys. So then my question to you is, like, where do you go from there? Because, I mean, I can get a guy like Zach Ertz later on. I can even get a guy like Ladarius Green later on. But are those guys really TE1s? I mean, are you willing to gamble on that as a tight end one, or are you in more of like a Pitta kind of... You know,
if you take Rob Gronkowski, I'm going to make this very simple for everyone out there listening. If you take Rob Gronkowski, draft Zach Ertz. If you miss out on the top three tight ends, grab a guy like Jordan Reed, grab a guy like Charles Clay, go after Jason Witten, because those are the guys that are going to be consistent at position after the big three. Ant, back me up here.
100%. Jason Witten, if you're in a PPR league especially, that guy just catches passes all year. And another guy I like what I saw so far this year is Dennis Pitta, an afterthought after missing most of the season last year, but he's going to be the go-to guy after Torrey Smith for Joe Flacco, I think.
I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that we're not even talking about Vernon Davis and the guy had 13 touchdowns last year.
Vernon Davis is so – he's a very streaky player. That scares me about him. So I wouldn't draft him ahead of someone like – I'd rather take the upside of Jordan Reed or Zach Ertz or Pitt or Kyle Rudolph, even Greg Olsen, who that's the only guy really Cam Newton has to throw to this year that's proven. So I would take any of those guys really ahead of Vernon Davis just because of the inconsistency I see from him.
Wow, awesome. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think the allure of Davis last year was that Crabtree was out and everybody knew that Vernon would be getting a lot of looks because of that. Now Crabtree's back. But, Bill, I hear what you're saying. But anyway, again, guys, like, thanks for answering all my questions. I'm going to hop off just because, like I said, I don't want to hog up all the airtime. But I'll be hitting you up on Twitter, all right?
All right, Russell. Take it easy, man. Care, buddy. That's Russell in New York City. Sent me a tweet this morning. I just found out that all my FF Champs emails were going to spam. I was like, you're a clown. Like, how did you just figure that out now? You've been a member for a couple of years. Sticking with the phone lines, 855-728-7500. Todd in Jacksonville is up next, Fantasy Football Champs, presented by DraftKings. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing great, good, man. How was your offseason?
It was long. Too long.
Yeah, we miss you.
Yeah. I was didn't do all that great last year. All my players were injured at different times. I had, like, Le'Veon and Percy and Gronk. So, yeah.
What were you doing with Percy? Yep. Percy didn't play until, like, the Super Bowl.
Well, I know. I held on. We have an IR spot.
Oh, okay.
And we have keepers, so yeah. I passed him.
Yeah, that was
worse. And I was hoping that now I'm looking at a spot to keep him this year. But too many guys to choose from, so I need to help.
All right, so what do you got?
I got a 10-team PPR. I'm drafted 9th overall. I can only keep 2 out of the 5. The first two I'm going to mention, I can keep this year only. The next 3, I can keep this year and next.
Okay.
So you might want to pay attention to that. But, so the first one's Gronk in the 5th. Second one is Cobb in the 13th.
Wow.
So I can keep those guys this year. And then these 3 guys I can keep this year and next. Le'Veon in the 15th, Keenan Allen in the 15th, or Percy in the 15th. Now, if you keep some of those guys in the 15th, one of them would have to go off the board.
Right. I'm not keeping Gronk in the 5th, only because I think Randall Cobb in a PPR league is too much to pass up in the 13th round. You might be able to get Gronk in the 4th, so why keep him for a 5th when you can have Cobb in the 13th? That's the value there. Not that Gronk's not a good, great player. He is. He's top 3 at the position. But the value is with the 13th pick, you're getting a guy like Randall Cobb. For me, it's Le'Veon Bell as the next keeper.
Right.
Anthony, I don't know if you disagree, but I'm not keeping Percy, and Keenan Allen would be nice, but since you already have Cobb, I'm going with Bell.
Yeah, it's a toss-up between Bell and Allen, but Bell is going to be a second-round pick this year. Allen's not going to go until, what, 5th, 6th round, so
right.
A 15th-round pick for Le'Veon third Bell round. Is extreme value. Oh, I'm sorry, 3rd?
Yeah, for Keenan Allen? Yeah, 3rd round.
Right, okay. But he said, what, 15th round is what you give up for Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, so if I cast Le'Veon and Cobb, I would give up a 15th for Le'Veon. That's the
right.
Yeah, you got Le'Veon Bell.
Two top 25 players or two top 30 players in the 13th and the 15th round. That's value that you did a great job whenever you drafted those guys. So hats off to you, my man. I mean, that's all you doing your due diligence a couple years ago and taking these guys when they were rookies or, you know, second year in the league. That's the value to me. That's the benefit of being in the keeper league. It's not keeping LeSean McCoy in the second round. It's not taking Peyton Manning and you give up a third round pick. It's drafting guys like Le'Veon Bell and Randall Cobb, and then in the future seasons, you don't give up a draft pick for him until after double digits. That's where the value comes in.
There's no way you keep Ronco. I mean, there's Julius, there's being kept, Cameron, and Reed. They're all being kept. And the guy that's behind me, he's my biggest rival.
What pick do you have? 9th pick?
9th pick out of 10. The guy behind me is pick 10. He's my biggest rival. He's got Peyton he's keeping for 3rd and DJ Spiller. So I know what he's going to do is that he's going to try to snatch Gronk out from underneath me if he can't get Graham.
Why don't you take Jimmy Graham at 9?
I think I should take him at – that's what I was wondering. So, yeah, take, like, Graham at 9 or – and then, like, another running back, little five running backs, or
Going into the second round, if you take Jimmy Graham at 9, you'll already have a capable, productive running back 1, capable and productive wide receiver 2, and the best tight end in the football, which is pretty much a top 5 wide receiver. He just plays at the tight end spot. That's Jimmy Graham. That's what I would do.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks for taking the time to call us, Todd. One more caller. We got 855-728-7500. Avi in Miami. What's going on down there in sunny Florida?
What's up, guys?
How's it going?
What's going
on, man? Good, bro. Great weather. Great girls. Everything's good.
You cooking up those chemistry products still?
You know about that. Yeah, still. You know, yeah. I still can't tell you what I do, but I'm still doing it. Yeah.
All right. Well, we love the mystery. How was your off season, buddy?
It was good, bro. I won 2 out of my 3 leagues because of you guys.
Awesome.
I signed up on FFC Champs, you know, and I'm just back for some more.
All right. Love to hear that. What's your question for today?
All right. So listen. So I got 4 leagues, and for some reason, I don't know if by coincidence, I have a 7th pick. Standard snake draft for 3 out of the leagues.
Okay.
Here's my thing, man. Like, the trend in my league, it's usually running backs first.
Sure.
You know, I believe in, like, yeah, there's 2 top, you know, 3 tiers. Or, you know, there's 2 top tiers. And, you know, like, 4 or 5 would be, like, Marshawn Lynch, Forte, Eddie Lacy, not in that order. And
right.
Then after that, like, I just see this huge drop, right? It's a snake draft. So, I'd pick 7th, and then I'd pick right after in my 2nd. My question is this: should I go for a running back that I really would want to pick in the 1st round, like let's say Joik Bell, and then go for a receiver? My only fear is that I don't want to lose like my running backs and just wait all the way till the end of the 3rd to pick a running back. You know,
I know you did not just ask me if you should take Joik Bell in the 1st round.
I don't want to. I don't want to pick none of these guys.
Joik Bell. Are you sure? Are you talking about Le'Veon Bell or Joik Bell?
No, my bad. Not Joey Bell. Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, yeah.
I was good because I was going to hit the drop button.
Don't do that.
No, but I don't want to pick, like, I mean, I'm definitely not going to pick a quarterback. I don't want to pick Calvin Johnson or Dez Bryant in the first.
That's fine because you're in a standard league. You don't have to do that. You can still get a Brandon Marshall or a Julio Jones or an A.J. Green in the second round. What I think you should do is take Monte Ball, take Eddie Lacy, or take Marshawn Lynch.
Okay. So what I'm thinking is, like, the worst-case scenario. Like, all these guys, like, those rough running backs. So I'm thinking, let's just say Forte, Lynch, Lacy gone. I'm in the seventh. You know, of course, Charles and all these, you know, these big boys are gone.
Monte Ball is your new best friend.
Monte Ball, huh?
The appendectomy, I don't know about you, Ant, but it's not scaring me.
He'll be fine by the start of the season, so don't let that scare you. And look what Noshawn Moreno did last year. He's on the best offense in the league, so he's your best option out there.
Now, real quick, I don't really know too much about Monte Ball. Is he a third-down running back?
He's everything to the Broncos. He does pass protection. Right. He really came on strong in the second half of the year when Noshawn Moreno starting to wear down. He was a guy that broke Barry Sanders' record in college while he was at, what was it, Wisconsin?
Yeah, he was in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, yeah. I'm telling you, he's going to be – he is by far the person that I'm targeting. I'm in the same position you are. In any of my standard leagues, I have that 6-7 pick. Eddie Lacy, Matt Forte are gone. I'm taking Monte Ball.
Right, and then I was thinking, like, going, you know, my second round, pick another running back. Because, like, this draft, man, there's so many receivers. It's so deep in receivers. You know, like, I don't have to, like, bank on Dez Bryant or anything like that. I can get a great receiver in 4, 5, 6, 7, you know?
Okay, then look at then like look at Andre Ellington, look at Giovanni Bernard, maybe Alfred Morris in that spot if you don't want to go receiver.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, don't get me wrong, if Calvin's there, I'll pick him, but he won't be there.
Well, you know? the only thing you have to be wary of is if you take Monte Ball, you don't want to take Demaryius in the second round.
Right, yeah. Same team, no. I'm not doing that. All right, guys, that's about it. I just wanted to hear your thoughts.
You got it, Avi. Thanks for calling us, buddy.
Take it easy.
It's so different in a non-PPR league.
It definitely is. The strategy's got to be a little bit different for you. And like you were telling me before, especially in a 10-team league with a pick on that back end, you can still get a very good running back, Monte Ball, Marshawn Lynch, in that first round. And if you don't want to take a receiver, you're going to have two very, very good running backs to start your team off with.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to take... Let's say, I don't know, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, and Brandon Marshall, the receivers there, because Dez, Demaryius, and Calvin are off the board. If you don't want to take a Marshall, a Green, or a Julio, I have no problem with someone reaching for a guy like Giovanni Bernard, a Marshawn Lynch,
Andre Ellington.
An Andre Ellington, a Le'Veon Bell,
Alfred
a DeMarco Murray, an Alfred Morris.
Yeah, you got a lot of options there. And coming back third round, you can get a guy like Michael Crabtree, who's not going to be a bad option for a number one receiver in a league like that, or Alshon Jeffrey, possibly. Maybe Jordy Nelson comes back to you and you get lucky. Something like that.
We're going to take a quick break here. Patriots.com radio. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings. More of your emails, more of your phone calls next. Plus, a little bit of a Patriots fantasy football preview. That's all coming up next right after this.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Rooting for the New England Patriots is great.
Woo!
Rooting for one specific Patriots player because he's on your fantasy football team, well, that's just awesome.
Gronkowski lines up right as well. Brady in the pocket. A lot of time as the Texans drop in coverage. Tom fires toward the end zone, and a tumbling grab is made with a touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
It's time for this week's Patriots Fantasy Spotlight on Fantasy Football Champs.
All right, welcome back, Fantasy Football Champs, presented by DraftKings.com. Remember, you need a free membership to FFChamps.com if you're serious about winning your league. It's very simple. FFChamps.com/Pats, and you get the free membership for the whole season. Not for a week, not for a day, not for the preseason, for the whole season. One full year of an FF Champs membership. I guarantee we will help you make the playoffs, we'll help you win your league, and we're going to help you make cash playing daily fantasy sports at DraftKings.com. It's a fact. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. You can read all the testimonials on the site. All the callers that dial into the show, the emailers, they all love what we do and the product, the membership that you get from being a member at FFChamps.com. So I strongly suggest doing it, FFChamps.com/Pats, and you get a free membership. Now, speaking of the Patriots, here we are broadcasting on Patriots.com radio. So we want to spend a little time talking about these players from New England and how they can impact your fantasy team. There's 20 minutes left. I got Anthony Grace with me. I got Kevin Collins with me. Kevin, obviously, you're up there in New England, so we'll be going to you a lot through this throughout this segment to get your feelings on some of these players. But we got to start off with the top. Ant, last year, Tom Brady, there were a lot of question marks surrounding him. Five players from the previous season were no longer with the team.
Brandon Everyone Lloyd, sucks but me.
There you go, Tom. Let's say it again.
Everyone sucks but me.
Remember last year, the big discrepancy was all these new rookie receivers, Kembrell Tompkins and Aaron Dobson. Danny Amendola was signed in the offseason. Rob Gronkowski was starting the year on the pup list. He wasn't active. So really, it was Julian Edelman and Shane Vereen were the two players that were catching passes prior to 2013. So there was a lot of controversy about what Brady can do. The result was a mediocre season by his standards. Obviously, the Pats were tremendous. We're only talking about fantasy here, so just keep that in mind. But he wasn't a top three quarterback like we've expected from Brady over the years. Do you think that's going to change now that he's a little bit more familiar, now that he has Gronk back, now that Edelman has emerged as a Wes Welker replacement? What do you make of Brady?
I think that if everyone can stay healthy for Tom Brady, he will definitely be a top three quarterback again this year. I mean, last year finished 15th. First time he was out of the top three in the last 4 years, out of the top 10 in the last five. Julian Edelman came up huge for the Patriots last year with all the injuries they had. No Gronkowski, like you said. Shane Vereen had a lot of pressure on him going into week one, and then he gets banged up and misses half the season.
Yep.
So if Shane Vereen can stay healthy, we know he can catch passes at the backfield. He's probably one of the best pass-catching backs in the league. Rob Gronkowski. Right. I'm sorry, yeah. Go ahead, Bill.
No, go on.
I was going to say, Rob Gronkowski, if he stays healthy, he could overtake Jimmy Graham as a top tight end in this league. So he's got a lot of weapons, and if they stay healthy, he's going to be a very dangerous quarterback again.
All right, so it really comes down to what we're saying is Rob Gronkowski being on the field, because, boy, is there a difference when Gronk's out there and what Tom Brady can do. It really opens up the play calling for Josh McDaniels. Brady is a lot more confident passing the football to Gronk, making plays in the red zone all over the field. So, Kevin, I want to ask you, what has Gronk been doing during training camp?
A lot of non-contact, guys. During the week we spent in D.C. with the Redskins, he wasn't even on that trip, so he wasn't even practicing with the—
Didn't he even make it down there?
I don't believe so. He was not spotted on the field at any point during that week.
Okay.
So we didn't see any of them that week, and we just started practicing again back here on Sunday, and he's been out Sunday, Monday, and now Tuesday. But he's been doing a lot of work when they've been doing full team drills kind of off to the side, whether it's conditioning or with the strength coach. So he's been doing a lot of stuff kind of off to the side in those team portions of practice.
Now, do you think – have you watched him at all?
Yeah, he looks good.
How did he look?
Today I made an observation. I was standing watching practice with a buddy of mine, and he's been coming out every day – with this, the giant leg brace on that knee that they reconstructed in the offseason, and then also the giant, almost bionic man arm pad that he wore on his elbow when he shattered that 2 years ago.
And then today,
honestly, Bill, was the first time I can remember at any point, so far this season in minicamp or training camp that he was not wearing that arm brace.
Oh, really? No arm brace?
No. So he just had the leg support and no arm brace. And he was doing a lot of when he was doing his conditioning on the side while the team was kind of scrimmaging a little bit, he was doing a lot of push-ups. And, in those that drill where you do the foot fire and you drop, down to your belly and you push yourself back up.
Right.
He was doing a lot of that type stuff that included upper body strength in his arms. And he wasn't wearing that brace, which I thought was a pretty good sign.
By the way, I have no idea what exercise you're talking about right there.
You know that where you you don't know what foot fires are, when you're kind of tap dancing real quick,
yeah. You drop, push,
and then you drop.
Yeah, you drop down to your belly.
Ups.
Yeah, get ups. Anything you want. I'm sure there's a CrossFit term for that, but I don't know what it is. But he was doing a lot of push-ups and doing a lot of those, and he looked pretty good. And he's definitely in great shape. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
It's just a matter of, I think, getting him to a place where he feels comfortable getting banged around and trusts his leg and his arm. I think the arm thing a lot last year when he was in, once he finally kind of healed and got into games, the arm immobilizer or the brace, if you will, was kind of a crutch for him. It just made him feel good. I don't think it was necessary.
Right.
But it was just kind of a safety blanket for him. So it'd be nice to see him kind of get away with that, get away from that, because as healthy as he can be and without any restrictions, you know, any immobilization of his legs or his arms, like, that's the Gronk that we all know and love.
All right. So over under 12 games for Rob Gronkowski.
I'll take over on the 12.
And what are you taking?
I think he's going to play a lot more than he did last year. I'm going to have to go over as well with 12
games. Yeah, I'm optimistic. And I think this year, Bill, they're managing, you know, his reps, and they're managing what he does in camp. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was great that he didn't even, you know, go down to D.C. and he wasn't out there and wasn't even, you know, in pads or anything for the game. I think you could see a lot, similar type thing this week and probably next week too. I honestly, Bill, would like to keep him in bubble wrap the whole preseason. But, you know, I mean, I think at some point, if they can, get him in even for a series or two just to get him out running around a little bit and, you know, take a hit, maybe catch a pass or two, I think that would be beneficial to him. I think he would like to do that. It's just a matter of what the medical staff wants him to do.
Now, we have him ranked as our number 3 tight end, only behind Jimmy Graham and Julius Thomas on FFChamps.com. If he does play over 12 games, like both of you said, there's no reason to believe why he won't be in that top 3.
Yeah, especially with the lack of other weapons the Patriots have, Bill. So he's, you know, Tom's going to be looking for him,
yeah,
you know, as much as possible, even when he's single or double covered, you know, down the middle of the field. He's such a physical mismatch for any type of linebacker or safety. And a lot of the corners get, you know, when a corner lines up on him at the line of scrimmage, a lot of times Gronk will just throw him out of the way, and then he's kind of out of the play.
Gronk
so he's just a really awkward matchup for basically any type of position you want to guard him with, whether it's a back or a safety or a cornerback.
Now, listen, I know a lot of Patriot fans are listening right now. I'm sure a lot of you would love to have Rob Gronkowski on your team. Do not draft him in the first and second round. That's a waste. Take him in the third round if you're toward the end or the middle of the draft. I'm fine with that. But you have to make sure you get a backup tight end. Because what's going to happen is, let's say he rolls his ankle and he's out for one game. You're going to need a backup tight end to replace the sick production that you've been getting from Gronk.
I'm fallen, and I can't get up.
Draft a Zach Ertz. Draft a Charles Clay from Miami. Get your hands on Kyle Rudolph. You'll be happy you did. It's insurance. That's all it is.
I've heard a lot of, I heard a lot of rumblings during mini camp, not necessarily training camp now that it started.
Yeah.
But I think Charles Clay, Bill, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't, and I have no, not a ton of knowledge on Charles Clay other than for fantasy perspective and the two times that he plays the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems like a pretty productive player, and I heard some rumblings during. During mini camp about how he had like 1 year left on his deal and how he would potentially be a Patriot target either during the year this year or in the off season as he heads into free agency as that kind of second pass catching tight end that the Patriots covet.
He had a career year last year. We're going to get away from the Patriots just for a second here. Career year last year, 69 catches, 759 yards, 6 touchdowns.
Certainly nothing to sneeze at.
Listen, Charles Clay, he's going to be great for the Dolphins this year. Probably, if not the top playmaker, second behind Mike Wallace.
But there were a lot of people kind of speculating, Bill, that you know how the Patriots kind of thefted Wes Welker, that was the next theft.
Well, listen, that would be great he would be phenomenal on the Patriots. He's going to be good this year. But listen, if you draft Rob Gronkowski, the point is, if you draft Gronk, just make sure you get your hand on another tight end. Someone that is capable of producing big-time numbers. Because if you don't, and you draft Gronk, and then all of a sudden he's out for 2 or 3 weeks, and you end up with Martellus Bennett or Delanie Walker, you're screwed. Because neither of those guys are going to come even to half of what, they're not going to be able to produce half of what Gronk produced. At least with a guy like Clay, Greg Olsen, Kyle Rudolph, you can get 10 to 12 points from them. You're not going to get 20 like you'll get from Gronk, but there's a big difference between getting 5 a week or getting, 10 to 12 a week. So just get some insurance if you're drafting Gronk. That's my advice there. Anyone want to back me up?
I do back you up.
100%. You can't. Right. Got to do it.
Thanks. Moving over to the running back spot. If you listened to the show last year, you know I was in tears when the announcement came down about Shane Vereen missing 8 weeks of action. Literally, I cried. because he was on every single one of my teams. And he is a PPR monster. We love Shane Vereen in the PPR format. In the non-PPR format, he's productive. But when those six catches that really amount to a touchdown every week, you're not getting points for him, we have to peck him down a little bit. His teammate, Stephen Ridley, was a big disappointment last year. 2012, 1,200 yards, double-digit touchdowns. 2013, big, major disappointment. Ant, what do you make of Stephen Ridley?
Stephen Ridley, I'm not too high on him because every time he fumbles the ball, which seems to be more often than not, he sits there for the rest of that game a lot of times from what Bill Belichick likes to do, put him in the doghouse. So I'm not a huge fan of Stephen Ridley. If I'm drafting a Patriots running backs, PPR or standard, it's going to be Shane Vereen.
Now, for all of you out there in a dynasty league or in a keeper league, I'm hearing a lot of noise out of James White. I know Belichick has a lot of faith in him. It's the rookie draft pick this year. Kevin, what are you hearing about James White from camp?
He's looked real good so far, guys. A lot of people thinking that he's the insurance policy for Ridley and Vereen because this is the last year that both of their rookie contracts, since they were both drafted in the same year.
Yep.
And a lot of people thinking that, you know, he may get some serious burn this year, and if he produces, may make Ridley and or Vereen expendable heading into next year.
See, that's the thing. Both of them, Vereen and Ridley, are both in contract years.
Yes.
So what do the Pats do? They think ahead. They draft a running back, someone that can replace either one of those guys.
Yeah. Because
from what I hear, White is a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield just like Vereen can.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. You have Vereen with his injury kind of questions and concerns over the past several years, and Ridley with his inability to hold onto the ball. Both those guys have a lot to prove.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't think much of the White draft selection at the time, but now, kind of having seen what he brings to the table, I feel a little bit better about, I'll say, 2015 and beyond, having at least a guy, a young, talented guy, who's going to have spent a year in the system kind of learning. I feel better about him heading into next year.
All right, let's move over to the wide receivers now. Last year, we saw Julian Edelman catch over 100 passes. Danny Amendola was supposed to be the player to replace Wes Welker, but guess what? It was Edelman. Amendola can't seem to stay healthy, and this dates back to his time at Texas Tech. Dates back to his time with the St. Louis Rams. Amendola just can't seem to stay healthy, but we know the talent is there. So this year, if he does stay healthy, what can we expect from a player like Danny Amendola?
Danny Amendola is going to be what Julian Edelman was to the Patriots last year. I mean, that's why they brought him in. They basically said he's Wes Welker, but a little bit better. So if anyone can be better than what Wes Welker did in that New England Patriots offense, it's going to be very, very scary to see what that person, Danny Amendola, should be and what he could put up.
I have Julian Edelman pegged for 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns with 92 receptions. Too high or too low?
I think you're right where you should be. Again, if Danny Amendola does play a full season, you're probably going to see a few less receptions. But what'd you say, 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns?
Yeah, 1,100.
Yeah. 1,100, yeah. Now that should be right around what he should be doing for him.
See, that's where my head's at. I think I have more faith in Edelman staying on the field, catching 90 passes, than I do with Amendola at this point.
I agree.
Yeah, and if Amendola does stay healthy, Tom Brady does not have the same relationship with him, so he's going to look for Edelman before he looks for Amendola, even when healthy. So you got to factor that in as well.
Let me give you a little taste of Amendola camp this year, Bill. Can I?
All right, let's hear it.
Can I? So basically, Brandon Browner, one of the Patriots' prized free agency acquisitions, has been lining up on Edelman and doing battle with Edelman, you know, most of camp. They've been trying to test Browner and see if when he comes back from that suspension, they know he's big, they know he's physical, but can he guard somebody from the slot is something they're trying to see. So he's been doing a lot of battle with Edelman. Edelman, you know, Brandon Browner is going to be seeing Julian Edelman in his nightmares. Edelman's first step, maybe first five steps, is just way too quick. Browner's constantly getting his hips turned around, is constantly grabbing, committing bad penalties in practice. Now, when Amendola lines up, it's a different story. Just doesn't have that same quickness and explosion off the line of scrimmage, and Browner seems to have a much easier time kind of tracking him.
Interesting.
And we just haven't seen Amendola creating a lot of separation you know, whether it's Brown or guarding him, Kyle Arrington has got a ton of time guarding him in the slot.
Yep.
You don't see Amendola like you would a Welker or an Edelman just kind of create space for himself. You know what I'm talking about, Bill? Whether it's just like a little rub or a little head fake or whatever, those guys just seem to be really good at creating like a yard or two of space to make a play. And when Amendola is catching these passes, somebody's already like, you know, in his hip pocket. And he's having a really hard time getting what I would kind of consider open. Maybe by NFL standards, he's considered open because these quarterbacks are so great. But you're not seeing him kind of alone or, you know, running a little rub route and being open by 5 yards coming out of his break. You know, you're just not seeing separation. So I'm a little concerned about Amendola.
Here's the difference of a PPR league and a non-PPR league. Edelman, who you say is looking like a better slot
Edelman, Bill, and this goes for a lot of the writers here, not just me, and I know they have more credibility. Edelman has been the best player in Patriots training camp in 2014.
All right. Here's the difference. PPR league, Julian Edelman, my 19th wide receiver, projected for 254 fantasy points. In a non-PPR league, he drops all the way down to 30. He goes from 19 to 30. And he has 162 points. That's a big difference.
Huge drop off.
Listen, that's why we go back to commandment number one, know thy scoring system. Because if you're in a PPR league, Julian Edelman is a dynamite wide receiver too. Probably the best wide receiver too in the game.
Yes.
Like I said, 92 catches, 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns. That's what I have him projected for. But if you're in a non-PPR league, you're not getting credit for those 92 catches. That's a whole lot of receptions that don't mean squat. Now you're just relying on his yardage and his touchdowns. That's why he drops down to 30. He's in that T.Y. Hill and DeSean Jackson range in a non-PPR league. In a PPR league, he's in that Larry Fitz, Keenan Allen range. Major, major difference.
Huge
so know
difference.
Your scoring system. It's that important. All right, some of the other Patriots wide receivers. Aaron Dobson, we talked about him a little bit earlier in the show, coming off the PUP list. Certainly good news. We're excited to see what he can do. Because, Kevin, like you said, he has a little bit of a height to the Patriots wide receiver.
He's definitely a different body type. But, again, a guy that really hasn't proven too much to the team or the fantasy owners out there. So I think he's a little bit of a gamble when you're talking about draft position. And I think he might be one of those guys where you might want to wait and see a little bit.
Brandon LaFell, Kevin's concerned he might not even make the roster.
Yeah, I'm down on LaFell. And like I said, you know, based off what we've seen, the only reason he's going to be on the roster is because they guaranteed him so much money in the offseason.
Right. Kembrell Tompkins, what are we making of him?
He's had a pretty good camp. Not the caliber of receiver as Edelman, but I think he's been very competitive in the reps that he's gotten. And I think that definitely out of the group that Brady has to work with, I think Brady has a fair amount of faith in him and looks his way quite a bit. I think I would consider him based off, you know, from a value standpoint, you know, pretty much a lock to make the roster.
And then finally, I want to talk about Brian Timms. Boy, did he have a big preseason game against the Redskins. 5 catches, 119 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah.
He was playing with Jimmy Garoppolo, a quarterback. But still, that kind of production, you have to take note of it.
Yeah, and you got to pump the brakes a little on him for a fantasy standpoint. Not only may he, you know, he's a coin flip to make the team, but he also, it's come out that he's going to be suspended the first 4 weeks of the season.
Why? PEDs?
I think it was an Adderall. It had something to do with Adderall, I believe. Oh, it's come out.
That so he, damn ADD.
Yeah, so he's one of those guys that, you know, even if he did make the team and was maybe a potential fourth or fifth, I don't even think he's a draft consideration considering the amount of time he's going to miss. But he's certainly a guy that if he makes the team, Bill, it's going to be impressive because now with the suspension, they're thinking even with the first 4 games he's out, he's still worth a roster spot, right? So if that's the case, Bill, he's certainly a guy to keep on your radar for week 5 and beyond because if they're that committed to him, he's obviously going to get a lot of burn. So we'll see.
All right, so that pretty much does it for the Patriots fantasy preview. We went through the quarterback, running backs, tight ends, and wide receivers. Listen, a lot of playmakers on this Patriots roster. It all comes down to what Rob Gronkowski is going to do for this team. If he's on the field, I think Tom Brady has a much better season. I think it snowballs from there. Vereen will be open more. Edelman will be open more. So let's say we all said Rob Gronkowski will take the over with his 12 games. We'll see if it happens. Kevin, any final thoughts before we wrap up today's show?
No, it's just great to be back with you guys, and can't wait for Thursday.
Anthony, what do you got?
And we will be back Thursday with the Patriots playing on a Friday night. Just
okay.
reminding people.
Sounds good. Nothing much, man. Everything, we got through a lot. We got to go over some new coaches for Thursday's show and, you know, some fun stuff coming up for Thursday. So stay tuned. FFChamps.com, sign up, and beat all your friends.
FFChamps.com/Pats. You get the free subscription to FF Champs. I want to thank everyone, Kevin Collins, Anthony Grace, for a great show. Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings. We'll be back next this Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, send us your tweets at FF Champs. Thanks for listening. Best of luck in your fantasy drafts.
Thanks for listening to FF Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Bill and Anthony are back live every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time to answer all of your fantasy questions. Log on anytime to Patriots.com to download our latest FF Champs podcast, available after every show. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of Fantasy Football Champs.